Welcome to Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You, the podcast that focuses on Christians that are active in everyday life. Join in as we speak to everyone from successful business owners to educators to athletes about their faith and how it helps them reach out and revolutionize those around them to do the same. And now get ready to roar with your host, the voice of manifestation, John Fuller.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Are You Real broadcast. This is not your usual host. This is Matt Dietz, and I am here as a guest host starting and launching a new year in 2018. John Fuller has asked me to come on the platform as a brand new host for a show called Are You Real Creatives. And our focus this year is going to be on this show specifically connecting with creatives in every facet across the board, music, art, all things entertainment and art. And so today I have the pleasure of interviewing my very first guest, and I have chosen to interview my brother, Zach Dietz. It's really interesting going back to the very first time that John interviewed me. I was the very first episode on Are You Real. John's like a brother to me. I've known him for many, many years now and connected with him on that level as a brother. And for my first episode, I get to interview my biological brother, Zach Dietz. So I want you to welcome today our first guest on Are You Real Creatives, Zach Dietz. Zach is a prolific songwriter, musician, worship leader, father, husband, amazing man. And so, Zach, welcome.
Thank you. It's my honor, man.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I want to jump right into this. And what I want you to do is first kind of just give us a rundown, a breakdown on who you are, what you're involved in right now in this season in your life. And so kind of our listeners have an opportunity to just connect with you on that level and just kind of get to know who you are. So go for it, man.
Yeah. Right now I am a worship pastor at Evergreen Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I love every single thing about it. I love getting to pastor and shepherd the people that I do. And I'm really kind of delving into songwriting. As of late, I've written songs since I was probably 15, but I'm really just now kind of starting to understand my own process for songwriting. And so really focusing a lot on that right now. We just released our first album as a church last year, or actually this year, 2017, and we're going to begin working on our next one really soon in January. So that's where I'm at right now. So,
very cool. Very cool. So tell me, what is it that right now you feel like you're just hitting your stride? Obviously, you're in your 30s now. Why is it that just now you said I'm just now hitting what feels like your particular stride as a songwriter? Why is that changing? What is it that has influenced that over the course of the last 30 years of your life, or since you've been writing songs? Where did those songs initially come from? What caused you to start writing songs, and what has changed that process to make it feel like you're finally hitting your stride as a songwriter?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously you and I grew up in a very musical family. You know, our dad played guitar, led worship for the youth group as he was a youth pastor. And really, you actually had a huge influence on me getting into music. Not everybody's able to be just like you, Matt, where you can just write a song like it's nothing and it becomes an incredible song. I didn't have that gift. I've really had to work hard at it. And as of recent, I recently attended a songwriting conference in Nashville with a group of people, Michael Farron, who's written songs with Michael W. Smith, and Lauren Daigle, and all kinds of people, anybody that you can think of. He was kind of over the whole conference, and I learned a bunch of different techniques in songwriting, things I had never even crossed my mind when it came to songwriting. And so that's had a really huge impact on me as of late. And, you know, something I've learned as of recently, I guess, is just to keep writing songs. No matter what your mood is, no matter how you're feeling, continue to write songs, because songwriting is a muscle and you've got to continue to develop that muscle. So,
yeah, absolutely. So I really appreciate the compliment. That's pretty awesome. But something you said that I want to really touch base on really quick, and it may not be quick, it may be something that develops a little bit in this conversation, but one of the things that you said where there were some keys in attending this songwriters conference in Nashville, and obviously most of our listeners are not going to have the same opportunities of entertaining the idea of spending time in Nashville with some people like Michael Farron and others who are prominent songwriters in the music industry, especially in Christian music. What are some of those keys or takeaways that you can distribute on this particular podcast that's readily available to our listening audience, the creatives that are interested in writing songs? What are some of those keys that you took away from this conference that you can pass out today? One of the things that I really want to do with this podcast is take people like yourself, who you've over the course of the last 15, 20 years of your life, you said, you know, you've worked really hard, you've struggled to write songs, and suddenly now have this development that, you know, part of what is contributing to that is your experience in the Songwriters Conference that you went to. And what I want to do is, on a broader scale, begin to distribute ideas and things that unlock the creative gifts that are inside of every single human being on the planet, but especially with creatives. I feel like we have an obligation, we have a responsibility as believers to begin to help unlock the creative abilities of other believers, and that there's no room for jealousy, there's no room for holding back, that we have to distribute everything that we have in our possession to help other people. What are some of those keys or takeaways that you can distribute today to our listening audience, to other creatives who are listening in and saying, you know what, I'm in that same place. I've been struggling. I've been working really hard, and I feel like my songs aren't going to that next level. What are some things that you could distribute to them today?
Well, I think before I go into what I sort of learned at that conference, it kind of began before that. I had had been reading in 2 Chronicles, and I think it's 2 Chronicles 16, and it just talks about King Jehoshaphat and how he sent the singers to the front lines of battle. And as the singers began to sing praise, the three armies that they were facing destroyed themselves. And one thing at this conference that they kept saying was that a songwriter's pen is a weapon. And I would say that a songwriter's pen is a weapon, but so are our songs.
So good.
So as we begin to declare God's greatness into the atmosphere, we see the enemy destroyed, and it confuses the enemy. And so I think that's one of the biggest things. And, you know, I said songwriting is a muscle. It's important that we continue to exercise that muscle, not only to develop our skills, because it confuses the enemy. When we release songs into the atmosphere that are praise and worship to God, it has that effect. And so not only are we glorifying God with our songs, but we are fighting a battle. And so I think it's important to realize that as songwriters is that, you know, as we're writing songs, keeping that in mind of, you know, we are entering into a battle. With that said, you know, some of the things I learned that were really interesting to me are, you know, there are no rules in songwriting, just best practices. And, you know, as far as I can remember back, I've always tried to do things maybe a little different than how it's been done before. One of those instances was when I played in a band a while back. We used to travel around and make CDs and stuff, and we had this vision as a band to we said, what if we could like somehow raise the money to get our own recording studio? Like, we were trying to think outside the box of like, man, we could create more albums, wouldn't have to pay for producers, all that kind of stuff. And so I went to school to learn how to record music. And during my first semester, I had an idea, and I called a friend of mine who worked at a prominent recording studio in Lubbock, Texas. And he was, they did a bunch of video work and all that kind of stuff. And I just called him and I said, hey, listen, are you guys looking to hire an engineer or anything for your studio? And he said, well, actually, we're without an engineer right now. And so let me talk to my boss. So he talked to his boss. And through a series of events, I got an interview. And I, to be honest with you, I had no idea what I was doing when it came to recording. And I basically weaseled my way in to become their engineer at the studio. And the first thing I did was I called Chris Clayton, who is a producer friend of mine, and I said, hey, listen, I just got this job at a studio. I need you to come fly to Lubbock, Texas, produce a song for us so I can watch your every move and see what you're doing and learn how to record on the spot. So I did, and he came in, and I was taking notes, and he was gracious enough to give me pointers. But that began our journey as a band into looking at different perspectives, how we can do things more efficiently. The reason I tell this story is because I've began to do that with songwriting. I'm trying to look at things differently, how I've done it in the past and how I should be doing it. And so when I went to this conference in Nashville, I basically went so I could figure out what I'm doing wrong and how I can improve it. And not necessarily to do everything the way they taught it, but really just to improve my skills as a songwriter. I've got, you know, I came back and I decided I'm going to teach my worship team exactly what they taught us. And we're going to build a creative songwriting team here at our church. And actually this Saturday, we are going to do our second one of those. And so I'm going to be teaching, you know, everything I learned there. But, you know, a few of the things I learned was, they talked a lot about, James Teeley, who's also a big songwriter who wrote, City on a Hill that Carrie Jobe sang. He's written, you know, with everybody that you can imagine. But one of the things he taught was the rule of three. Something I'd never heard, but he gave the example. He said, you know, if we're going to pull up the top 100 songs in Christian worship music, and I'm going to prove to you that this rule of three exists in every single one of these songs. And one of the things, the song Glory to God by Steve Fee, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. The rule of three is that, you know, whether it's a melody line or an instrument line in a song, or maybe a lyric, but it repeats in threes, because the point is to emphasize your big idea or emphasize whatever. If it's a strong melody, you want to emphasize that. So you you repeat that in threes. I can name song after song. Never Once by Matt Redman. There's a piano melody line in there that does the same thing. Great Are You, Lord by All Sons and Daughters. And so the point of that is to don't bury your big idea. So whatever song idea you have is, don't bury that, but re-emphasize that point.
That's so good.
So, yeah.
You know, I tell people all the time that ask me, you know, I've had people ask me in songwriting, how do you get to a place where when you're in a live situation leading worship? I had a young man who was 20 years old one time when I was leading worship, came up to me after. He said, how do you do that? How do you get to the place where when you just strum a guitar, he said, it feels like the presence of God just falls on a situation.
Mm.
And I said, you know, I've never thought about it before, but honestly, what I really think is happening is when I get alone in my secret time with the Lord and I'm writing, that's my secret place. I just get alone with the Lord and I start writing. I start feeling the presence of God on something. And when I feel it in the secret place, then I know that I can take it into the corporate place and immediately the presence of God is going to fall.
Yeah.
In the same place that it fell in the secret place. And what I love about what you're saying, for me, even right now, it's unlocking some keys, is that if I know that that's my big idea, I know that that's my place where the presence of the Lord is going to be released.
Yeah.
If I will take your rule that you're telling me right now, the rule of three, and apply it to that, apply it to the presence, that's where the presence falls. That's my big idea. If it's a melody, if it's a lyric, it doesn't matter what it is. But if that's where the presence of God is, and I can apply it threefold into a song, repeat it, repeat it, repeat it, then I know that that's where every single time consistently God is going to show up, and it's going to emphasize the very thing that the Holy Spirit is emphasizing in the process of writing a song. I love that. I think that's brilliant. I love that contribution.
Well,
one of the things. Yeah, go ahead.
But if you think about in Isaiah 6, you know, I used to have a problem with Hillsong because they would just repeat and repeat and repeat. And it drove me nuts. And for a while, it just ate at me. And so I never did Hillsong songs because I was bitter. But then God began to work my heart. And I read Isaiah 6. And it talks about the angels around God's throne who for all eternity are singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And they're repeating that phrase over and over and over. And I began to think, man, if those angels can repeat the same phrase for all of eternity, it means that our God must be worthy of that phrase and worthy of phrases being repeated in songs. And so when they talked about the rule of three at that conference, that resonated with me because God had already been working on my heart about repeating phrases. And so I think sometimes it takes a while for us as humans to get a phrase engraved in our hearts as we're singing it. And so,
so
I think
good.
Repetition can have an effect on us by hearing that phrase over and over. So
that's so good.
I think that's another aspect to it as well.
So good. So good. I love that. I want to switch gears just real quick into something that you said a minute ago that really connected with me. And it's something that I feel like I want to just bring full circle. You know, you talked about in the beginning of our conversation that you released a record in 2017 and you're working on a new record, a church worship record. And then you went on to say something about how when you went to this conference, there were takeaways that you said, you know, I don't want to do exactly what they said, but I want to take the things that they highlighted and implement them into my songwriting. My songwriting is different than what their songwriting is, but there are things that they can contribute to me that I can take away and do differently. And immediately it gave me a pause when I started thinking about, you know, obviously churches everywhere are almost in the same mindset that you're in as a church, where you're writing songs and producing records But what makes what you're doing right now different than the Bethels, different than the Elevation churches, different than the Hillsong churches, different than every other church that's out there right now writing music and producing records? Obviously, you're doing things similar, but what is it that you uniquely want to do in your ministry, in your church, with your creatives that are coming into your, you know, disposal right now? They're part of what you're stewarding as an overseer. What is it that you want to see differently through your particular ministry and through your particular platform that you have that's different than what everybody else is doing out there?
Yeah, you know, I heard a quote one time from Picasso that he said, good artists create, but great artists steal. and thing I like about that quote is I don't think the heart of what he was saying was that I'm going to do everything else that everybody else is doing. I think what he was saying was I'm going to take what other people are doing and refine it and make it better. And I think, you know, the things I learned from Michael Farron and James Teeley and all those guys that were at the conference, Jenny Lee Riddle, all those guys, God has anointed to write songs that in their own way, God's given them their own songwriting uniqueness. And so what I wanted to do was go and learn what God has taught them and really apply it to my songwriting uniqueness and really refine the process. And so as far as what we're doing different at Evergreen, I heard Elevation Church, one of the things they do is when they songwrite a lot based on what their pastor has been preaching throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
And so I loved that idea. And so we didn't do that with our 2017 album. We really just kind of were experimenting a little bit. I'm looking ahead at 2018, and really my goal with this next album is to be an album for our church specifically. The struggles we've gone through, the victories we've had together, the things that we have gone through together as a church. Maybe it's been a sermon series. Maybe it's
good.
Something like that. But what we're going to do with this next album is really hone in on, okay, where are we going as a church? Where have we been? And write about those things. And so I believe, you know, that if we'll be faithful to write for our church, for our people, I believe God's going to bless that. And, you know, I think eventually he may use that outside of our own church. But I've just had a conviction with this next album to specifically write for Evergreen Church. And so we'll see what that looks like soon.
I love that. You know, and the reason I love it is because I feel like we've come through, you know, a kind of a worship explosion over the course of the last 15, 20 years. It really started with Delirious. It really started with Hillsong. And it's really become a mainstay. It's really become a focal point of the church where, you know, these grandiose, really well-produced, really well-developed ideas within worship music, really worship music's become bigger than Christian music, period, across the board. And so it's become its own little genre. Not little, it's a big genre. But with that has come, I think, the mentality where writers or creatives, I think creatives is a better word, creatives within the church have begun to create with the global church in mind. And as a result, the local church has gotten lost. And what I love about what you're doing is the purity of it, the simplicity of it that really connects your heart and your creatives that you have the ability to steward their hearts back into a really pure and authentic place. It says, where are we right now. And instead of focusing on the global church, focusing on the larger platforms, focusing on the bigger things to come, you're focusing on the now and the present. And I feel like that's even where God has me right now in my own life, is quit worrying about what the future looks like. Why don't you focus on the present and the position that I have you in right now in this current state? Begin to focus on that. And I love the fact that you're bringing leadership to a people that says, let's not worry about what everybody else is doing. Let's not worry about where this is going in the future. Let's worry about how it affects the people that we're directly connected to. And I feel like there is such an honorable existence in that frame of mind that God just looks at it and he says, that's what I'm after. And honestly, I really feel like even some of these larger scale influencers within the Christian world and worship itself started from that place. I don't think Bethel began to write songs on the premise that this is going to impact the whole world. I don't believe that Delirious did that. I don't believe that Hillsong did that. I don't believe that's the way that Elevation Church started. And yet at the same time, I think a lot of creatives have this mentality that I want to do what they're doing. And so they begin to write in such a way that it duplicates or replicates or models or emulates or whatever word you want to use the things that these larger influencers are doing for the purpose of being in the position that the larger influencers are, and then in turn having that type of influence. When God's saying, you know what, just be faithful with the little things. Do what you are capable of doing in the position that you're equipped to do it in, and see what I can do with it then. And I love the fact that you're bringing leadership to that with the creatives that are in your stewardship and saying, hey, let's focus on our people. Let's focus on those that we have influence over and see what God does with it. And I would love to connect with you again when you guys release this next record and see what sort of testimonies come as a result of writing for your church, writing for your people that you are directly connected to, and see what God does with it. I'm really excited for you. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit how they can find you and the music that you guys are creating. How do they find you?
We have, you know, we're on all the social media. On Instagram, we're evergreenmusic_. Twitter is the same handle. You can find us on Facebook. Yeah, we're on all those platforms.
Where are you on? Are you on iTunes?
We're on iTunes, Apple Music, Spotify, basically any music platform, digital music outlet we're on. And so, yeah, we're on all of the above. So
awesome, awesome.
Yeah,
very cool. Well, we'll have all of that information in our show notes. If you go to our podcast and look at the show notes, you'll be able to find information on how to find Evergreen Music and find Zach and the things that they're doing. Also, don't forget, obviously, this Saturday is short notice, but they do have a songwriters conference coming up. Is that open to the public, Zach?
Yes, it is. Awesome. Tulsa, Oklahoma, Evergreen Church will begin at 9 a.m. this Saturday. So
beautiful. And so that is Saturday, the very first Saturday in January. If you guys happen to be in Tulsa, connect with them. If you ever happen to be in Tulsa on a Sunday, connect with Zach at the church. Go to worship with these guys. Tell us where your facility is located and what time your services start.
Yeah, it's actually on the Bigsby and Broken Arrow city line. So we're on 111th and Mingo, and our services start at 10:30 a.m. So you can join us for our 10:30 service, and we'd love to have you. It'd be awesome.
Perfect, perfect. And so can they connect with you personally if anybody wants to email or connect with you individually, just to kind of give you encouragement about how this particular interview has impacted them? How do they reach you personally?
Yeah, probably the easiest way is through Instagram or Twitter. My handle is at Zach Dietz, ZACHDIETZ, on both Twitter and Instagram. I'm not with the times. I don't have a Facebook right now, so
that would mean probably to most people that you're beyond the times. You're moving to bigger and better things, because I think they say Facebook is for old people. So
yeah. So find me on there. I'd love to touch base.
All right. Well, thanks, Zach. We really appreciate your time, the interview, and we know that it's going to have some impact and influence on some people. And so we appreciate you. Thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely.
And blessings on the adventure with this new record and the things that you guys are doing in the future. Thanks for joining us today.
Love you, brother.
Absolutely. So, guys, thanks for joining us today on Are You Real Creatives? And we look forward to the next episode, the next time that we pursue something together. Stay in tune, stay in touch. Also, we want to point you back to all of the other platforms, all of the other shows that are going to be going on in this new year, the Are You Real Business, Are You Real Success, Are You Real, so many different platforms, Are You Real Fit, so many different things that you guys can connect to and connect with. We are excited about what is coming in this next year, but continue to connect with us here at Are You Real Creatives, and let's see where the next episode and the rest of this year goes. God bless, and you guys have an amazing brand new year. We will talk to you next time. Thanks.
That's all for this episode of Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You. Be sure to go to areyoureal.org for your free questionnaire to identify your gifts and talents and how you can use them to help people become leaders and catapult them into their destiny to help others become the leaders of tomorrow. We appreciate you spending your time with us and look forward to helping you reach out and revolutionize next time on Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You.